Isn't it?
Oh, no, you're fuzzy stuff.
I wonder why.
I don't know. It could be your connection thing or something. I don't know.
You sound kind of fuzzy now.
Do I?
I wonder if it's connect. Yeah. You, well, it sounds like you're like you have gain on.
I've always got gain on.
Yeah. That might just be your voice, actually. I don't know.
I'm the gain master.
Sure. Let me see.
I always preferred gain to tight.
iMac microphone. Okay. That's about normal. All right.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I lost power for like 20 seconds earlier today.
Which
kind of sucked because I was in the middle of working. Thankfully, I just hit save. So.
Oh, man, yeah. I had all those kind of problems today, too.
Although, Illustrator now, it's got an auto-save feature, which is cool. I don't know how often it updates. Say what?
I said that is cool.
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot better. I sort of remember there being a plug-in for that a long time ago. But now it's, like, built in. So that's cool, too. And it automatically, like, if it quits unexpectedly, it'll automatically bring up the last file. Saved or whatever. Like, so. That's one cool new feature. Well, newish. I mean, it's been around for a couple years, but a few years. Actually, I don't know because I was on CS 5.5, whatever AI version that was, for a long time. For like 13 years past its, you know, expiration date.
Yeah.
But,
I don't.
So I lost power, and it was real brief, came back up. But then I went out to go to the store, just to pick up some bread and cheese and shit, and all the traffic lights were jacked up. They were all doing these, like, where they blink.
You literally got bread and cheese, didn't you?
No, I couldn't get in the store. The store was closed.
I
guess because of the power outage.
Okay.
And so, and like all the street lights were fucked up and shit, and it was weird. I don't know what happened. It's been that kind of day, though, you know?
Yeah.
I was working on one thing I'm really starting to notice. Well, I'm starting to get like, is it nearsighted? Which one is it when your eyes are blurry up close? On close up stuff? It's what?
Nearsighted is, that's farsighted if things are blurry up close.
Okay, yeah, the terminology for that always confused me because it seems like it's opposites of what it should be.
I don't know. I can't see either way now. That's why they have bifocals.
Yeah, well, over the past couple of years, my near vision has been getting kind of wonky, and I suspect it's because I sit here in front of a monitor too much.
Yeah, and that has nothing to do with it.
But it gets worse when I don't get a lot of sleep, too, or when I don't get enough sleep. So, I find myself, like, squinting a lot, because somehow that seems to help clear it up. But that hurts after a while, you know. Hurts the eye muscles. My eyeballs hurt, Mike. But,
can it help?
I don't think so, no. And so, my eyes were getting really bad today for close-up shit. And I had to keep sitting back, but then my arms are stretched out at a funny angle. And I was working on a book where I'm manually drawing balloons.
I thought you were manually drawing balloons all the time now.
No, because it really is super time intensive as opposed to just doing having stock balloons or whatever, just using circle vector shapes. And today, because of the eyes and having to sit back and the arms being at a weird angle, it's like I couldn't draw a balloon to save my fucking life. I had to keep redoing them. It was terrible.
Sure.
Like, I need a brush like your fishnet brush, but for balloons. Something that just automatically creates balloons.
I got some new brushes, I'm telling you. And that's the first, you know, shortcut brushes I use pretty sparingly like that. And most of the, and it's not because I don't like to save time, it's because a lot of them aren't very good, you know.
Right. But I noticed on the one you posted on Instagram,
mm-hmm.
it looked like it was following your curve.
Yeah, it is touch sensitive, so it gets bigger and smaller as you press.
But I mean, it looked like it was following like the curve of her leg,
It does. If you do it in a curve, it follows the curve.
Oh, that's awesome. See, now that's useful.
Stuff yeah, like that. Yeah, it is useful.
Because the way those brushes used to be, like, you would just get stuck with a pattern that was straight up and down or whatever.
Some of them are, you know. That's what I mean. It's kind of a crapshoot. But I found a bunch of them this week that are going to... I've already employed them. They are very useful for things like stuff in the background that I don't want to deal with.
Awesome.
And I found a crowd brush.
No, you didn't.
Yeah. But, see, it makes it sound cooler than it is. It's not, it doesn't like, it does draw people. But it's not like I go and I have a background and I just draw a crowd. Like, I just, you know, run my brush across it. It draws, like, little naked people, which I will in turn use as my, you know, sketch for what I draw in the background. I'll draw on top of that, you know.
I want a brush that draws naked people.
Yeah. Well, they're not little. They're like, you know, like the little figure models you see in like a 3D poser program.
Yeah, I gotcha. They're like the old ones that had the rod up their butt, the wooden ones.
Yeah, yeah. That's what it looks like.
I, have you found like a horse brush yet?
No, but I don't mind drawing horses. I don't have a problem with them like every other artist seems to. I have trouble with like things like cars and mundane things like
pottery.
Classrooms. Desks and chairs, you know.
Office spaces.
Yes, chairs. Oh, chairs. Chairs are worse than horses any day of the week.
Well,
because they're like lettering. It's like you don't notice them if they're done right, but if you don't, then people notice them.
All you ever exclusively draw is just aims there at chairs. Like those weird slingback ones.
Yeah. Well, that's the other thing, right? If you learn, I mean, you learn how to draw that, like that one wooden chair that, you know, you learn how to draw when you start drawing. And then that's the only chair you draw. And you're like, the world doesn't, there are barely any of those chairs in this world.
Yeah, I haven't seen a wooden chair like that in a long time.
You need to learn to draw like a what do you call those? The,
kind with the plastic seats in the metal legs.
Yeah, those steel chairs, those like office chair. You need to learn how to, you know, draw those. Oh, those are difficult. They got little casters on them and stuff.
Right.
Anyway, that's boring.
I can think of one brush that would be absolutely useless to you.
What?
The rubble brush.
Well, see,
you love rubble.
That's the irony of it. Is I found so many good rubble brushes, and the thing is, I don't want to use them. I was like, oh, this would be great if I, you know, broken glass. I would like to have, and snow. I would like a snow brush.
Do you have a
Kirby? I made my own. What?
Do you have a Kirby Crackle brush?
I have several of those.
Yeah, I have a few.
I've got a whole like folder of them.
I hardly ever use them, but
I often use the old Kirby Crackle.
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't have much call for it personally, you know. Although I got to do some nice scribbly monster balloons today. That was kind of fun.
Yeah?
They were like scribbly, scrabbly.
Oh, scribbly. I need to get back to drawing that book. You remember when I drew Battlebug?
Was that book that won a couple of awards?
You know, won a couple.
Yeah.
Won a couple of them multiple times.
I sort of remember it.
Yeah.
I almost busted out. There was a thing I did for one panel of that book one time that I've since turned into a GIF and used. It was that rainbow with the hug.
Yeah.
I almost busted that out for Pride Month. But
you should.
I can't. I haven't been able to find it. I don't know what I did with the GIF. But because I took and just cropped out that panel, so it was just the rainbow and the hug word.
Mm-hmm.
And then I made the hug all glittery and animated glittery. It was kind of fun.
You should.
It was fun.
There's kind of it is a Battlepug is definitely a LGBTQ
plus.
Yeah, plus friendly book. Especially now that I have an implied a love thing going with Sasha and the new Seer girl.
All right. Forgot about that. It's been a while.
Yeah, I know. Well, Seer girl likes her, but I don't know if Sasha knows. I don't know yet. I haven't asked her.
You'll work it out.
I'll work it out.
Oh, by the way, welcome to week... Well, I can't even talk today. Welcome to week 869, dude.
Well, that's nice. Willy.
I'm doing air guitar. You can't see it. But.
I'm drawing Speedy.
The Green Arrow companion?
Yep. You know, I was thinking about this today while I was drawing this. You know, everybody makes a big point out of what a weirdo perv Batman is because he had Robin. But all of those fucking DC characters had teenage sidekicks. That's what the Teen Titans are.
Yeah, I mean, they were the leftover sidekicks.
Like, they all had, yeah.
Well,
but Batman gets it all the time because, you know, he was the best known, I guess, other than Superman, who had Superboy, obviously.
And they all wore tights and stuff.
Yeah.
Cyborg wasn't a sidekick, was he?
Cyborg was not a sidekick.
Right.
You are correct.
And I don't think Raven was either, was she?
Raven was not a sidekick. She is the daughter of a demon.
Right.
But she... Not a sidekick.
And Starfire wasn't... She was a minor character before.
What are the new Teen Titans you're talking about? I'm talking about the original Teen Titans, which was Wonder Girl, Speedy. Wonder Girl, Speedy, Kid Flash, Aqualad, and Robin.
Yeah, that was the boring Teen Titans. It only got good when it was the new Teen Titans, you know?
Well,
there were a lot of
people that would agree. That was. New Teen Titans was Marv Wolfman and George Perez.
Right, okay.
The late, great George Perez.
I'm trying to think, when was that? That was an 80s book when it started, wasn't it?
Yep.
Because I vaguely remember reading it when I was a kid.
Printed on Baxter paper. Remember Baxter paper being a big deal?
No.
Yeah, that was a big deal.
Huh.
Baxter paper, which just, I think, just meant it was thicker than the other stuff.
Now we're giving you the good stuff. That's actually...
It was more expensive, I think, too.
That is actually what made that book better, was the paper. That's why it was better than the old Teen Titans.
Well, I remember they promoted it in, like, it was like, Baxter paper. I'm like, okay. I don't know who you're trying to impress with this stuff, but I'm down with it.
I have a comic book that's printed on Tyvek.
Gross.
What? That stuff's indestructible, man.
Yeah, but who wants to read anything on it?
Oh, it printed okay. I'm trying to remember what that was. I think it was a Charlton.
Want to read an envelope.
Comico, I think, did it. It was for a comic adaptation of one of those pulp novel, like, hero dudes that just goes around killing everybody. I can't remember.
The Shadow?
No, like Max something or something like that.
Max Payne?
No, but like that. He was actually a character like that. I think I talked about him on here because I was living in the house with Jenny at the time when I bought those.
Max von Sydow?
No. I can't remember what the character is. My dad used to read his books when I was a kid.
That comic book with Max von Sydow?
What would that be printed on?
Mucilix.
Something luxurious.
I don't know if Max von Sydow is the spokesperson for look. I think you're thinking of Ricardo Montalban.
No, I'm picturing him in Flash Gordon.
No.
You know,
yeah, I guess he did.
He was pretty glitzy in Flash Gordon.
Yeah, he was. A lot of eye makeup on that guy.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That bugs me now. I can't remember what that was. I'm pretty sure it was Comico. They were a Chicago company, right?
They were.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure it was Comico. and I can't remember the name of the darn character. He's got like 100 books in the series or more.
Hmm.
I don't know if they're still published.
Then I should. Mr. Monster?
No, dude. It was like a. He was sort of like a. Not. It's not a hard boiled thing. He was more of just like a kind of a mercenary type dude.
Mac Bolan,
that's what it was. The Executioner?
Yeah.
So they did a comic adaptation of him. And I guess, for some reason, they thought it was a good idea to print it on Tyvek because it was indestructible. Somehow that made sense.
Like Mac.
Yeah, I guess so. Or maybe it was just Tyvek covers with regular paper interiors. That would make more sense. But I seem to remember it printed okay. It's kind of cool. Comics you can't destroy. So, I don't know. What else is new since last week's After Dark?
I don't know. Is this how we're doing it now, After Dark?
I'm sorry about that. I just, this week, for one thing, Monday holidays always screw me up. Because I always think that Monday is a Sunday still in my brain. Because it's, a holiday or whatever. Everything's closed or off. People are off. I don't get mail. And so that throws, it just threw me off, especially this week, it just threw me off. I think a part of it is I'm just not getting enough sleep. So I'm getting a little dopey.
Mm-hmm.
Besides my eye strain and stuff like that.
And sneeze.
And what?
And sneezy? And doc?
Bashful. Aw, shucks.
You are bashful. That's true.
I am bashful. I will blush at the slightest provocation. Which is, it's easy for me to do because I'm so white,
You're see-through.
I am very, very white.
Hmm. Oh, white like the night.
You ain't got to cry. I'm very white. Very white.
You're very, very white.
Oh, yeah.
Which is the ice cream they should make of very white.
Oh, all right. Yeah. Berry white.
Yeah.
I suppose that probably like a strawberry and cream ice cream, right?
Yeah, of course.
Berry white.
It's white chocolate, baby.
Oh, there you go, yeah.
It's smooth, so.
It's very smooth. Have you ever seen an orange spider?
Yeah.
Really?
How big is it?
Smaller than a quarter, a little bit bigger than a nickel.
Don't know if I've seen them that big.
It freaked me out and I smushed it.
Like crab spiders, yeah, I've seen those.
I haven't seen one around here before, but there was one in my basement, and it wigged me out.
Yeah. I killed one under my desk the other day.
An orange one?
No.
Oh.
Little black spider. Been smushing them with my notebook.
So you just got one page of your notebook that's covered in spider guts?
It's my songwriting notebook, so it doesn't get a lot of action.
Well, maybe you should write a song about smushing spiders with your notebook.
I might. This here song is made for smushing.
I was made for smushing you, baby.
That's what we should do right now. Let's write a song.
You were made for bugging me.
Bugging me. Yeah, that's a good one.
Even though I know, they're arachnids, not bugs. They are.
Does it matter?
Well, yeah, they're Frankenstein's arachnids, Or something like that.
Frankenstein's arachnids? That's dumb.
It is dumb.
But funny.
I don't think I carry that one as well as Emmons does when he says it.
Though Emmons does it with complete confidence. That's what you gotta do.
And he does it real deadpan, too. So.
Mm-hmm.
Like he's just rattling off a fact or a figure or something.
Mm-hmm. Also, he always does it.
Well, yeah.
Don't be Emmons.
Repetition, I guess.
Yeah.
I finally got around to watching that Panic show on Amazon.
Panic?
Yeah, it's about the teenagers doing the dangerous game thing to win money. I guess it's based off of a teen novel from about 6 years ago, maybe. And it's all right. I thought it was going to be, like, I don't know, by the time it got to the end, I felt like it just sort of relied real heavily on stuff that's been done already.
Yeah. Kind of like my career.
I mean, you know, it would have been probably like a good season of Veronica Mars or something.
Right.
That, you know, 15, 20 years ago or whatever. However long ago that was. But it's not too bad. It was interesting enough to watch. I stumbled on an old movie kick, too, for some reason.
Why?
I don't know. I just every once in a while I get on that. Like, I'll see one pop up on Amazon, and I'll start watching it, and then another one gets recommended, so I start watching that one, and I just have a bunch of them I go through. I watched this one from 1957 with Doris Day in it called A Pajama Game. And it's a musical.
I've heard of Yeah.
It's weird because it's a musical that is super pro-union.
Interesting.
And it's funny because you almost forget that this country used to be, like, really supportive of unions, you know?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
I mean, I think it's making a turn to go back again, but, like, I mean, that was back in the day when, like, you know, the unions were the reason that everybody did as well as they did, kind of thing. Before the Republicans started really targeting him and dismantling him. Fucking Republicans.
Let's not get into that again.
No, I'm just going to do my weekly reiteration of they can all go fuck themselves. Fucking Republicans.
Go fuck yourself, you ugly bastard. Crank hates you and he's gonna get you. What do you think about that, you punk ass punks? Yeah.
You gonna write that in the spider book?
Spider book.
But anyway, that Doris Day movie was, despite being a musical, it was actually kind of funny. It was pretty good. Now, yeah. I watched a bunch of movies from, like, the 30s and 40s, too. Cary Grant was weird. Not weird, like, as a person. But he kind of had that thing that a lot of people in acting do, that Dick Clark thing, where they just don't age for a long time, and then when they do age, they're suddenly old. Because, like...
Okay.
Like, I mean, he was acting... I always think of older Cary Grant, because stuff I remember mostly by him being in was, like, the late 50s, 60s stuff.
Yeah, sure.
But, you know, I've seen him in stuff, like, earlier stuff, like The Bachelor and the Bobby Soxer, and he was in this other movie called The Great Adventure or something.
Kill Again.
But I've seen him in, like, 30s stuff. And so, you know, he's a good 20, 30 years younger in these movies, but he doesn't look remarkably different, like, for that large a time span. It was just it's weird. I mean, you know, sure, some people's genetics, they age a lot more gracefully than others.
Mm-hmm.
But he's definitely one of them. I like him as an actor, though. He had just a certain something to him.
A certain something.
And his real name was Archibald Leach.
Yeah, I knew that. So, but I forgot about it all.
You can kind of see why he changed his name for acting.
Mm-hmm.
One thing about Doris Day that I must have known, because I'm sure it's come up, but I forgot until I looked her up, is that she's from Cincinnati. Or was from Cincinnati. And Doris Day's not her real name either. She's got a long last name, long German last name, like Koppelklanker or something like that.
Toppelklanker?
Koppelklanker, you know.
Koppelklanker?
Yeah, one of those long names with all K's and P's in it. And L's. K's, P's, and L's. They like those.
Kerbin Clavin, Urfin Vlurfin.
Bleeping black and golden gluten.
Gerben Schlavin.
Speaking of that, that's another thing I didn't know. On Def Leppard's Pyromania album? Mm-hmm. Or was it Hysteria? Whichever. One of them, all the guitars they recorded in the studio were run through a one of those Rockman X100 little personal boxes, you know, with the headphones.
Oh, and hysterical. Yeah, yeah, I knew that. Yeah.
I didn't know that.
And you can hear it when you see like the videos, you can hear it. It's crazy.
Yeah, I mean,
it's like this super, super compressed kind of sound.
Yeah, it's that Boston distortion. Like, yeah. I never really put two and two together because
not just distortion. Yeah, yeah.
like distortion, maybe a slight chorus to it or something.
Mm-hmm.
And a real short echo to it, like a reverby, real short thing. And now that I know, it's like, oh yeah, okay, I can tell now that I know, but I never really, I just didn't notice it before because they've got so many layered guitars on those albums.
I mean, yeah, those Hysteria especially are testaments to records you can never pull off live.
Yeah, I mean, that's such a really big sound. I mean, something like Ronnie, that would make Ronnie Spector proud, you know?
Yeah. So many people went to a Def Leppard show and they're like, Joe Elliott sounds like this?
Well, oh, plus,
no.
I mean, plus on stage they're playing through, you know, giant racks or giant cabinet stacks and stuff. So those things just aren't going to sound like a Rockman, you know. But, yeah, that was just something I learned this week that I never knew before. Things I never knew. I listened to all but. Oh no! I'm sorry. I was on.
It was all but.
No, I was looking at something. I was counting the records. I listened. I was having a Cars day today.
Mm.
And it's So you know, I started out with the first one, which shit, the first one might as well be called their greatest hits too.
Yeah.
I swear, like all but two songs on that album were like hits. You know. Maybe three songs.
They will hit me, guys.
And it makes me wonder why, because, like, one of the ones, like, Always with Some Other Guy, Just Another Valid... Bye Bye Love. Like, how did that not be a radio hit?
It wasn't?
I don't think so. And it definitely wasn't included on their Greatest Hits album.
You weren't included on their Greatest Hits.
And speaking of Greatest Hits... They were one of those bands who my first album that I owned by them, and frankly, the only album I owned by them for a long time, was their Greatest Hits album.
Yeah, I bet that's the same with a lot of people.
Because, well, I don't know why. I think somebody gave it to me, but, like, I just didn't buy any more because I just listened to that album all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, there are other, like, my first David Bowie album was his Greatest Hits, too. I think my first Aerosmith album was their Greatest Hits. Their first one. Where they re-released Dream On.
What is wrong with you?
Well, that was like the it was like the third time they released Dream On as a single.
Like you're trying to like start a car.
re-released. There were dashes in between the re's. It was a re-release. The Cars, I'm not really familiar with Door to Door, which was their last studio album with Benjamin Orr still alive.
Yeah.
So I've got the album, but I'm not super familiar with it. I can't think of anything on it off the top of my head. But everything up to that, which was, I guess the Greatest Hits came out before that. Because it had everything from albums before. Everything up to that, like, it's not that the albums themselves are 100% fantastic or anything.
Mm-hmm.
But every album had at least one really, really good song on it. And then the rest of it didn't suck. And some of it was pretty good. But it always had at least one really good song. Except for that first album, which, like I said, had, like, you know, 10 radio hits.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of split. Like, just as many songs that I really like by them were sung by Orr as by Ocasek.
Yeah, that's the thing. And I really like the Cars, but I never really... Like, I didn't have any of their records, and I didn't, you know... I could never tell between him and Ocasek. They have very similar voices.
Yeah, and they both, I don't know if they're putting on an accent or if that's just, because they were Bostonites, right?
Yeah, they're not from another country. They're from here.
Right. And but I mean, I know some accents in Boston can get kind of heavy.
I think it was just a new wave thing, you know?
Yeah, they had that kind of thing going on.
Yeah, I think it was just a new wave thing. And, it wasn't until, like, recently that I realized some of the songs that were Oars. And because I thought Okasik sang all of them except for Drive.
I did, too, for the longest time. I even thought Drive was one of his. So.
Yeah.
It wasn't until, like, a couple of years ago that I realized, oh, Oars sung this one. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. But they have very similar voices.
I listened to some of that that album they did in 2011 when they got back together. Well, not with Oars, obviously, because he was dead for a long time by then. But and it wasn't bad, actually. It sounded like the Cars. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think I heard that.
And I had at least one Rick Ocasek solo album, which I fully expected to really like it a lot, because I'm like, well, shit, he wrote most of the Car songs, right? You know?
Yeah. You can definitely tell it's him. He has a style.
Oh, yeah. Even stuff he produced for other bands. Like.
Yeah, he produced the maybe the first two. He definitely produced the first Black 47 album, and you can tell. And he there are a couple other ones that he produced. Did he produce the first Weezer album? No, that wasn't him.
He did the Replacements. Not the Replacements. I'm
sorry.
What was that Friends of P band?
Rentals.
The Rentals. He produced them, and you could tell, I mean, for sure.
Yeah. He definitely has a style. It's a very pop kind of sound. And I like it, personally. But.
Yeah, I mean, he produced the second two albums, I think, by this band I really liked a lot called Possum Dixon. And then, especially after...
I didn't know that. I know who Possum Dixon are, but I didn't know he did that.
And
he produced a lot of people.
Like, you can totally tell, especially like after listening today, like probably like Panorama-ish, like around that era of Cars. Mm-hmm. Possum Dixon... There's stuff on those Possum Dixon albums that sound like Car songs. Which, mm-hmm. I mean, they kind of had that thing going anyway before they even started working with him. Because they were basically like power pop kind of thing.
I never got that from Possum Dixon, but if you say so.
Oh, yeah.
Never put them in the Cars. It's the lack of keyboards or...
Well, see, they added those in like New Sheets and their second, Star Maps, their second two albums. And they had some organy stuff on their first album. But yeah, I mean, on their first album, they're just kind of weird. It's weird rock, kind of. But it gets super polished by the second album. Well, the second album was more of a transition in between the first and the third albums. And you could tell where they were heading. But then by that third album, I'm like, shit, there's stuff on here that just sounds like Rick Ocasek wrote it, you know? Because it just sounded so very Carsy. Probably.
So very
I'm sorry. I mean, there are some producers that are pretty distinct. I always thought Bob Ezrin was pretty distinct.
Bob Ezrin?
He did like work with Alice Cooper and Pink Floyd. He produced The Wall.
Okay.
I can't remember which albums he did with Alice Cooper. But like after hearing enough of his stuff, I kind of started recognizing, I don't know, stylistic things. At least things that I attributed to him because they'd seem to carry from band to band.
Mm-hmm.
There were some metal producers I remember that had a pretty distinct sound, like Terry Date.
Yeah, I would probably, there are metal producers you can, I can't tell like today, but back in the day you can tell.
They just,
different.
Yeah, I mean, you could tell like, When they would switch from working with one band to work with another band or whatever. And, you could just hear the things that they were doing in the sonics of it, you know, the way a particular guitar would sound or how things sat in the mix.
Mm-hmm.
Or like a
big... Speaking of which, that shit is... I can't... you know... I've been learning how to do that stuff, and that shit is hard. I feel like it's a whole nother thing that I don't really want to learn how to do. You know?
I promise it gets easier.
I just don't, it's not, I'm not one of those people that cares. I mean, I want things to sound good, but I don't know if I care that much the way that somebody who is like good at mixing does, you know?
Yeah, I understand.
It's a lot like comic work, you know? I'm definitely of the like, oh, this is good enough when it comes to my comic book stuff.
Yeah, I understand. I mean, I'm not a perfectionist when it comes to stuff, and I kind of like things sounding a little dirty, but that's...
You do. You definitely have a rough edge to the stuff you make.
I mean, that's the way I like hearing it, you know? I don't want things to sound...
You like everything to be fuzzy.
Well, not everything. I mean, I like my cleans to be chorusy. You know? I like my cleans to be glassy.
You want everything to have a little bit of gain on it. Well, more than it should.
Just a bit of dirt, you know? I mean, because that's... Everything, because of the process of early recording, like, old, you know, old rock and roll, even 70s stuff, pretty mm-hmm. much everything had a little bit of dirt on it anyway, because it was being pushed through mics and tubes and, you know.
My interface has a simulator, like, in the box that makes it sound like a old desk instead of, you know, like your regular kind of Focusrite.
Yeah, I mean, even, like, and there even if it's not gritty, everything just sounded a lot more full.
Warmer.
Yeah. I'm thinking, like, even the clean stuff, like Steely Dan or something, you know? Just had a real...
I don't think Steely Dan is clean.
Well, I mean, they're clean compared to, say, Led Zeppelin or something. You know?
Sure.
Or Black
Sabbath.
They're
not heavy. They're not heavy, but I don't think of them as clean.
I mean, a lot of their stuff, they're mellow. I guess.
Man, Steely Dan just reminds me of a creepy uncle. That's really? That band just is the musical equivalent of a creepy uncle to me.
I love Steely Dan.
That's fine. They have incredible songs. But their music is always, like when I was a kid, I was just like, huh, I'm getting some pedo vibes from these guys.
Jeez.
I don't know what it was. I don't know if it's just that Donald Fagen looks like
his name is Fagen.
Rings.
I mean,
his name is Fagen. That's true, yeah.
I mean, the popular character in literature, you know, does not lend a good image to anybody else with that name. So.
And what's his face? The guitar player does look like a little weirdo,
Becker.
Like who looks at porn in a library or something.
I think they are weirdos, especially after watching some
They are.
Like watching some documentaries about them and stuff. They are complete obsessive weirdos.
As a kid, too, I kind of got the impression that, like, Fagen either did or does take himself a little too seriously.
Well, I think, again, and I don't, you know, they're almost like they're, not autistic, what's that other thing? Asperger's. It's almost like they've got Asperger's. Or something, because, like, they are super obsessive. They went through and did, like, I don't know how many fucking takes of a thing, and then sent all those studio musicians home because it wasn't giving them what they wanted, hired a whole new batch, and then did another, like, 20 takes just to get one song done.
Right.
I mean, they were insane in the studio. You know? Mm-hmm. I can't argue with the results, but, you know, I mean, yeah, that's kind of like crazy behavior, you know?
Yeah.
Or obsessive behavior. And, you know, I shouldn't just go throwing around crazy, but...
I don't think crazy is a bad word. I think that's a perfectly legitimate way to describe something.
Crazy.
There are a lot of people trying to get people to stop saying crazy.
Well, I'm just saying I don't really know. I'm not fit to diagnose somebody as crazy, I don't think.
Yeah. Well, you're not. But
and crazy itself, if I say something's like crazy cool, I'm not saying it's
that's crazy cool.
That's a whole different
thing. That's like TLC.
Yeah, man. Everybody needs.
Well, they're crazy sexy, aren't they?
Well,
that's not crazy. Well, it's crazy sexy cool. They added another aspect to it.
Or I could
that
say,
you don't add.
Or I could say that something's wicked cool.
You know. Oh, no. Pepperidge Farm remembers.
It's wicked cool.
Yeah, boy. Yeah, boy from Pepperidge Farm.
Let me sing you a shanty.
Oh, God. Where are we now?
Maine? I think.
Maybe?
I always picture him as a Maine.
Are there shanties in Maine? I guess there's sea people in Maine.
Oh, yeah, there's lots of sea people in Maine. That's where lobsters come from, man.
Mm-hmm.
Maine lobster? You know, they have a whole sea coast up there.
The Maine lobster. I'm the Maine lobster.
I don't understand eating lobster. They're big fucking sea bugs.
Understand. That's right. It's like the spider I killed with my book.
Yes.
Except underwater and you eat it.
I mean, not only do you eat it, but the way you have to eat it is just freaking barbaric, man.
Gross. Grossy, gross, gross.
I don't get it. Crab? Don't get crab either. Don't get shellfish. I really don't understand shrimp. Although, when I was younger, I used to eat shrimp.
Scrimp?
I don't understand shrimp now.
I mentioned many times before about the time that my dad tricked me into eating a shrimp once.
Did you
think? And I never forgot. I did not throw up. I did spit it out, though.
Up until I was about maybe my early teens, I was okay with eating shrimp for some reason. But I only ate shrimp, like, from Long John's, you know? So, like, fast food shrimp.
Long John Silver? Silver? Long John Silver?
Yes, exactly. And then one day, I distinctly remember this. I was driving in the car with my mom. Well, I was riding. I was a passenger. And we had just gotten some Long John's. And I was eating in the car. And
Why do you insist on calling it Long John's?
Because I'm too lazy to say the whole name.
Okay. That's an answer.
I mean, it's like saying Mickey D's, you know?
That is true. It is like saying Mickey D's.
Or, you know, pizza. You know what I'm talking about.
Pizza?
Yeah.
Oh, pizza.
Pizza.
I didn't know what you... thought you said piece of pizza.
If I buy two, I should pay for two.
Mm-hmm. I get it.
Anyway, but I distinctly remember this, so I'm eating the shrimp in the car, bit into it, and then I look down at it, and I see all these veins in it, all these little red veins in the shrimp.
Yep, gross.
Couldn't eat it. I threw that out the window. Never could eat it again. And sometime shortly after that, I stopped eating fish altogether.
I got you.
I've been trying to get back into fish again. Because, you know, I'd like to open up my options for what I eat. You know?
They're fishing.
Man can't live by radish alone.
No. Don't think so.
So, you know. I guess I should probably start how I started when I was younger and start with, like, I don't know, freezer Gortons or something, you know? Or start eating Long John's again, something fast foody fish.
It's the Gorton's Fisherman.
Whatever the Gorton's McDonald's Fisherman. Fish is. What do they call that? Fish?
The Gorton's Fisherman.
Mcfilet.
Why am I doing that?
I don't know. I'm ignoring you.
Oh, okay. That's the proper way to do that, but I don't understand what I was doing just then.
McFish.
Close the goal. Close them all.
Well, that's pretty good. You should write a song in that style. You kind of sound a little bit like Humpty.
Yeah. I think I do all the time, yeah. I'm pretty good.
A little bit of that Digital Underground flavor, you know.
Yeah, well, this is the Underground. Shoot me.
Because y'all are Norton with a capital Orton.
Norton with a capital Orton.
Yeah. Anyway. I don't understand eating sea bug. By God.
Kill it.
That's my position, and by God, I'm going to stick with it. What else is new? I think... I need brakes. I don't. Sorry, I was just thinking about that. My brakes are squeaking like crazy.
Why?
And I don't think it's brake dust. I think they're. I think I'm hitting the that little warning tab that tells you when your brakes are about to wear out. And you know, it's not like I'm driving a whole hell of a lot or anything, but here's a curious thing I found out. What the heck's it called? The bank bus? No, the mega bus. What?
Nothing.
Okay. So, mega bus is not operating routes in Ohio or Illinois anymore.
Really?
Yeah.
Where does it go?
I mean, there's some up in Michigan, I think, and there's some, like, through Kentucky, and I don't know where they go to. I was looking on their website. Like, if you Google mega bus Chicago-Cincinnati route, you can still get direct links to the pages on the Megabus website that mention it, but you can't find it in the booking thing anymore. So I wrote them. And I said, what happened? You know, I was like, do you not have a route that goes from Chicago to Cincinnati anymore? And they said, no, we no longer have that route. And I'm like, oh, okay. And then they tried to sell me on driving down to Lexington to take a Megabus to Orlando or something. You know, I'm like, no, that's not really what I asked you about. You dipshits.
Yes, it did. It's a bit. It would be real fun. You'd like it.
Yeah, yeah. Can you do a Swedish chef?
No.
Can you make a meatloaf?
What?
First you take
a look at high?
First you take the meat and stuff it in the loaf.
First you take the meat and then you stuff it in the loaf. Is that right?
Not really, but that's okay. So, yeah, I you know, no more $1 or $2 round trip things on the Megabus for me. Which kind of makes me kind of sad. A little bit. Just a little bit.
Oh, I'm missing the second movie.
Joe Bob?
Yeah, I wonder what it is. I feel like it's going to be, they're doing musicals, so I feel like it's going to be Phantom of the Paradise.
Or Doris Day in the Pajama Game?
Well, they're doing Monster Club first. They just did Monster Club.
Oh, which isn't a musical, but it has musical segments.
Okay, then maybe they're not sticking to that then.
It's the musical segments are like intermissions between stories in Monster Club.
Oh, then they're going to do Night Train to Terror then.
Which Monster Club is, for some reason, one of my favorite movies.
I know you love Monster Club. It's probably Night Train to Terror, I bet.
And when I acquired the Monster Club soundtrack on vinyl, was probably, actually that is the most I've ever spent on a record. It wasn't cheap. It's probably not the most expensive record I own because I got some shit cheap when vinyl wasn't all that great for people.
Yeah.
And it appreciated in price over the years. So it's definitely not, like, I think some of my Brainiac records are worth a decent amount of money. But yeah, that Monster Club was probably the most I ever spent. Oh, wait. Yeah, it was more expensive than when I bought the Kid Video on vinyl. Which they never did a U.S. release of the vinyl of that, so I actually had to buy an Israeli copy from Israel.
Oh, really?
Because I guess they were big in Israel. Which seems kind of weird, but sure. Menudo was big here, so I guess bands from here can be big other places. Do you miss Menudo, Mike?
I never think about Menudo.
Mm-hmm.
I promise I don't.
I find that highly unlikely.
How dare you? How dare you speak to me in such a fashion?
I'm just saying, man. I suspect you probably think about Menudo a lot more than you're letting on.
You son of a... How dare you?
Menudo.
I'm going to revenge on you so hard.
How's that?
How? How am I going to revenge on you?
How's that? Yes. How?
You'll see.
You cannot revenge on me.
There's going to be so much revenge.
Oh, I also watched this weird 60s movie with Roddy McDowell and Tuesday Weld. And it was called Lord Love a Duck.
Lord Love a Duck?
Yep. And it was very, How do I want to put this?
Erotic?
No, it very Heathers vibe to it.
Mm.
Roddy McDowell plays this teenager that moves into a new school when when the school district consolidates a couple of different high schools. And he meets up with this girl that he likes and then just kind of starts doing things for her, which leads to, like, murders and shit like that. Very, very Heathers.
Smells.
Then there was a 70s knockoff-ish of Deliverance that was Canadian called Rituals. It had Hal Holbrook in it.
Yep, seen it. They're doctors on a vacation.
Yeah.
The copy I saw was really poor. Was it somebody they knew? It was like another doctor, or was it just some, like, anonymous guy that was killing them?
It was a war vet.
Did they ever find out?
Yeah. You actually see the guy at the end.
Okay, I don't remember.
It was a war vet. I guess it was like a Korean war vet, though, which seems weird. You figure they would have put him in Vietnam or something. But it was like a Korean war vet who had gotten hurt with shrapnel or something, and the doctors that were operating on him screwed up really bad and made him all deformed and shit. And so he hated doctors. That was his thing.
Oh. And they explain that?
Eventually, yeah. Yeah, you kind of... Yeah, you get that. So, yeah, that was the reason behind it. But that was actually... I mean, for being, you know, like a Deliverance knockoff, it was a decent movie, I thought. Mm. It got kind of weird in spots, which I thought was interesting.
Mm.
And I saw that Robbie Rodriguez movie, Red 11.
Robbie Rodriguez movie.
Robert Rodriguez?
Oh. Because we know a Robbie Rodriguez. Don't say Robbie Rodriguez. And I'm like, is Robbie making movies now? How come everybody's making movies but me?
Oh, no. I guess I was probably conflating names in my head. But I don't know exactly when this came out. He wrote the book back in like 2011 or 2013. About how he made his first movie on $7,000 and whatnot. And so this book, this movie, Red 11, he also did like a concurrent TV type series where he discusses making the movie and making movies on the cheap, essentially. Because the way he funded his first movie, El Mariachi, was by enrolling in a medical study that paid him $7,000 or whatever, and that's how he made El Mariachi. And so Red 11 is a fictionalized account of his experiences in this medical study, essentially.
Mm.
But it's, you know, I'm sure it's highly fictionalized because it's pretty trippy. And I guess he made this movie on a really cheap budget, too. It's interesting for that, for like the backstory. It's not a terrible movie or anything either. It just seems a little, again, just, I don't know, man. Maybe it's because I watch too much shit, but everything just seems like other stuff now, you know? So many similarities and things.
So many serials.
And I don't know if you've seen this newer, it's Peter Dinklage and, Elle Fanning? Is that who it is? Yeah, Elle Fanning.
I don't know.
This movie called I Think We're Alone Now from a couple years ago?
No, I haven't seen it.
It's got a really heavy Rush presence. He keeps playing songs from like the first...
Oh, really?
Yeah, like from the first album or second album.
Nice.
Which album had Working Man on it? That was the first album, wasn't it? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And Finding My Way and stuff like that.
Yeah.
This is one of those post-apocalyptic, some sort of disease virus kills off, you know, majority of the population except those who are immune for whatever reason.
I'm immune.
And it,
to your mama.
Peter Dinklage is living by himself in this town, and then Elle Fanning shows up, and he doesn't want the company, but he winds up letting her in anyway. And then it just gets
okay,
weird.
So the station agent. It's the station agent is what you just described.
See, stuff, everything is something else now.
The Peter Dinklage movie, The Station Agent. Is he just making the same movie over and over again?
I guess I forgot about that movie. I watched that back in like the mid-2000s.
Mm. It's good.
I think I watched it with Jenny. If I recall.
Makes sense. Makes sense.
But, yeah, I don't know. You know. I also watched Cindy Williams' first movie.
Wait a minute. I feel like you've talked about this before.
I don't think so. I've never seen it before. I didn't remember
it. You've talked about Cindy Williams before.
Have I?
Yes.
It's not like I ever had like a Cindy Williams obsession or anything.
I think you did.
But this is called, it's from like 71. And it's called a Gas.
Gas?
It's Gas with a whole bunch of S's. Oh,
yeah, I know what you're talking about.
And I guess since I'm on a theme, some sort of experimental weaponized gas gets released accidentally and it kills off everybody over a certain age. So it's a whole bunch of like... The whole movie is just like a send-up of like youth culture, I guess. Different types of youth culture.
Mm-hmm.
And they juxtapose them and kind of turn them on their ear a little bit to make fun of them, I think. But, yeah, anyway. So, that was Cindy Williams' first movie. She plays a sort of a pregnant hippie. Oh, and it was directed by Roger Corman. So.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. And it's very Cormany, but it's also very, I don't know, like I said, dippy hippie kind of stuff, sort of, almost.
Herper derper.
I tried to watch, did I talk about this before? I tried to watch 200 Motels, that Frank Zappa movie. And I didn't get like 15, 20 minutes
into it.
Oh yeah,
talked about it, yeah.
It was so, yeah, I did talk about it last week. I won't repeat myself, but yeah, that one was weird. Very weird. Yeah. How you doing?
So weird.
Eh, how you doing?
Are we done?
If you want to be, sure. I mean, you know.
How long have we been going? About an hour.
A little over an hour, yeah.
That was pretty abrupt, wasn't it? Well, are we done?
I'm just saying, man, if you want to be. You know, whatever. Mm. I ain't here to keep you up all night. All night.
That's weird.
You're weird.
You want me to check the Gmail?
Why don't you check that beautiful beam footage?
Henrik wrote.
Oh, hi, Henrik.
Henrik writes, hi, Crank Mike and other people celebrating. I just wanted to wish Mike happy belated birthday and to congratulate Crank for the Eisner nomination.
Aw, thanks.
Thank you. Uh-oh, he's going to recommend TV.
Oh, speaking of that, I think it was this week, right? It was Alan Pasalacqua's birthday.
It was?
I believe so. Let me check my calendar.
I didn't know that.
You need to start using the G calendar and mark people's birthdays down.
I do.
Yep, his birthday was on Wednesday.
Oh, fuck. I wish somebody reminded me.
Damn. Happy belated birthday, Alan Pasalacqua.
Who doesn't listen to this?
I know he doesn't.
I also want to give a quick TV recommendation, namely Prehistoric Planet on Apple Plus. It's a 5-episode documentary about life on Earth 66 million years ago, narrated by David Attenborough. It's like an updated version of the old Walking with Dinosaurs show. I highly recommend. Just a short email this week. Keep on cranking. I have also heard a recommendation about this show, so...
It's all fiction. Everybody knows the Earth was created like a little over 5,000 years ago.
That's true. That is true. Why are you trying to blaspheme? Why is he blaspheming?
I've never seen that show. Is it like well-modeled? Is that the word I'm looking for?
I think so. I think it's got like good CGI, but I don't know.
Yeah, I guess I'm asking, do the dinosaurs like look realistic or whatever?
I haven't seen it. Avoid this show, Mike, is the subject header from John, world famous comic book artist John A. Moore.
Hey.
It's good hearing from him. I haven't heard from him in a while.
He's been too busy with his famous web series.
Artist of Urban Animal, which is being printed, I think.
Oh, is it? Cool.
Which, I don't know how they're doing that. You gotta tell me how you guys deal with that headache.
I guess you'd have to realign that stuff. You gotta reorganize everything.
Yeah, yeah. I hope they were thinking about that when they did it. Anyway.
Because, I mean, that stuff's still panels. It's just vertical panels.
Yep.
Or panels arranged vertically.
Anyway, haven't been able to catch up on episodes, but I'm slowly working my way through the past year. Stop it. John, stop.
You got better things to do.
Frank and Sean, seen any good new anime lately? Oh, I should have read this in the studio, because Sean has been watching anime. And he's been, Andrew, who's in the studio now, is a huge anime weirdo.
Oh, yeah?
And they're always watching anime at lunchtime. And they're always talking about stuff I've never heard of.
I've been slacking because most of that stuff I prefer to watch subtitled, and I can't do that while I work.
Right, right. I'll recommend some in another email. Well, that's good. Yeah, do that, and then I'll give it to them, and they can tell me if it's great or not.
Yeah.
Anyway, as for this email subject line, Mike, I implore you to skip this season of Stranger Things. The show is the best it's been in since the first season, and it's good time to jump back on board. But, Michael, there are too many menacing grandfather clocks, and I seriously don't know if you'll be able to handle it considering your ... past trauma.
I made that
a good thing. Memory.
I'm proud of myself. I made that a thing.
Other than that, I hope everyone is doing well. Take care, gents. Well, I'm going to watch it.
How is everybody at the studio?
Are there killer grandfather clocks in that show? Somebody else is listening to this show then, because that's a weird thing.
What season are they even on? I haven't watched it since the first.
It's four. This is the last one.
Oh, okay.
Because they're all 37 now.
Well, that'll give me at least a thing to catch up to. I don't have to worry about it going on like Supernatural for decades.
Supernatural.
Well, thanks for writing.
Supernatural.
Mike likes reading emails.
Yes.
Pardon me.
I love it.
I am burping up the beer. The cheap, cheap beer.
What are you drinking?
Tonight it's Milwaukee's Best Light.
Oh my god. Well, what is that? Is that like 4%?
Oh, I think it's more like 2.5 or something.
Is it really?
I don't know exactly. It should say on the can, shouldn't it? Let's see.
Yeah, it should say on the can. Where it's like legally dictated that they put it.
What is it? I can't quite read it. It's really tiny writing and the contrast is terrible.
Oh, you are old.
That's just the contrast is horrible. There we go. Serving size, 12 fluid ounces. Servings per container. But where's the alcohol content? It gives me carbs. And protein? Pork chop in every can.
It does not have protein.
I think it says protein. Oh, per serving. Here we go. Oh, it is 4.1.
Yeah, most of those beers are 4. So.
I thought it was lower than that. For some reason, I was thinking it was like 3.2 or something. Either way, it's not like drinking an actual... It's beer adjacent.
Yeah. I'm beer adjacent.
It's carbonated alcohol that tastes vaguely like beer.
Vague.
Very, very vague. So, yeah. What are you drinking tonight?
I'm not drinking anything.
Oh, that's right. You said you've been laying off lately, huh?
Yeah, beer is not sitting well with me lately. I had a beer this afternoon, and I've felt awful all day. I think it may be why I was headed.
You said it was the medicine or something, right, that you've been taking?
I don't know. Lately it's just been, it kind of coincides with when I started the new medicine, but yeah, I had a very strong 17% beer.
Wow.
This afternoon.
Jesus.
And I have not felt very good.
Man, one 17% beer is more alcohol than four of these things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't play.
Wow. Why don't you just switch to scotch or something?
Yeah. Well, you know, it did sort of just taste like beer flavored whiskey. it didn't taste good. So I probably shouldn't have had it. It kind of burns my throat a little bit. And
yeah. Well, that's pretty high alcohol content. I mean, that's like store liquor alcohol content.
Yeah, so I don't think I'm going to lay off even more. My friend wanted to go to Mayfest tomorrow, which is, you know, the big German, it's Oktoberfest in the spring, so, but I don't really want to.
You got friends?
I don't know. Not really. No, it's Phineas. Phineas, I don't know if you've met him before. He's a beer label artist up here.
Oh, no, there's a...
He's just a friends of friends, you know?
Right. There's a lot of people I haven't met because I haven't been there in so long. You know, I only vaguely know who you're talking about, the newer person in the studio, just because I've heard him speak a couple times.
Yeah. I don't know him very well either.
I'm
trying to get him out.
What?
Been trying to kick him out.
Man, that's harsh.
He won't leave.
That's harsh. Why are you harshing his buzz, man?
Why?
Anyway. All right, so I don't want to keep Mike up past his bedtime, which probably already is.
I'm going to go to bed.
So you can reach us at crankcast.com, crankcast@gmail.com. Mike's website is ihatemike.com.
Craig's website is...
You're at it.
Yeah.
And then there's a... Did I say battlepug.com?
Welcome.
I feel like I've got some real vocal fry going on tonight.
Yeah, you have all night. You sounded like that. And I don't know if it's your voice or... the warm saturation gain setting that you have on, because you need everything to be fuzzy.
No, I think tonight I'm just really tired, you know.
Yeah.
And it's coming out in my voice. Anyway,
you sound like a Kardashian.
Yeah, or like, you know, one of those 20-something singers or something, you know. So anyway, you can find our articles at comicart.com and yeah. You know, I don't know what else. Have a really good weekend.
Yes.
Oh, I know what
I have a good weekend.
I sound like, what's her name in Knives Out?
Who?
I can't remember the actress. She doesn't normally talk like that. She was the one that played, her name?
Toni Collette.
That's the word I'm looking for, yes.
Yeah. I didn't even notice that she was talking like that. You're right. That's a good call.
Yeah, through that whole movie, she does the whole thing where she's not even saying something. She'll just be going, I'm thinking, you know, or something like that. So, anyway, all right. So, have a good weekend. Have a great weekend. Have a fantastic weekend.
Or else.
And then, we'll try to be on time next week. I will try to be on time next week.
I will.
And, we'll get back to our Wednesdays sooner or later. I mean, or we can just keep going on Friday nights. I don't care, whatever, you know. It's not like I do anything.
Friday night?
Not like I do anything on Friday nights. Yeah.
You're washing your hair.
I did wash my hair.
I know what's up.
Fridays and Mondays, man.
I got cameras up in your house.
That's very weird.
They're watching you wash your hair.
They're watching me. Mike's private eyes.
I got private eyes.
Yeah, okay. So, all right, everybody take care. Goodbye.
Goodbye.